I choose to challenge the ways that I write. Poignant thoughts, praiseworthy thoughts, thoughts that transform wrong to right. I choose to challenge the status quo. Rights for those that may not even know. Housing rights, health rights, so-called inalienable rights. Rights that enable joy, peace, and love to ascend. I choose to challenge the colors that I wear. Colors of purple, burgundy, or gray for my hair. I choose to challenge the practices that limit employment advances, creative concepts, efforts that take each voting right and flip it. I choose to challenge the practices we harbor. Solo cars, plastic packaging, digital devices for every room. I choose to challenge. I choose to challenge. I choose to seek alternatives to loneliness and isolation. Hub housing, corner stores, theaters, and bookstores with cafes. Engaging activities for families, fun, friends, and simple relaxation. I choose to challenge the barriers left unchecked. Glass ceilings, heritage ceilings, hidden color dealings. I choose to seek electric words that ignite collaboration between generations, races, and genders, nudging hearts and minds to nurture other beings. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. Be the best you can be. Well, now it's time for us to go through another round of poetry. And we'll begin with Cynthia, who is a poet, and we know it. You didn't mention before, Cynthia has been active in a lot of workshops, and sometimes we don't know the different workshops that are open. So could you mention a couple of the workshops and maybe even the organization, BC Writers Federation, which is where I met you?
Actually, Charlotte, thank you for reminding me about stuff like this, because I'm going to be giving a workshop in Burnaby at the McGill Public Library as part of Stride Fest. It'll be sponsored. It's still being put together, and the library will probably do the advertising. But on Saturday, March 29th, I'll be offering a workshop on sensory poetry writing, co-hosted with the president of the Burnaby Writers Society, Lara Varesi, and it's in partnership with Stride Fest. And also, Stride Fest in Burnaby is right now taking applications for workshops, any kind of proposal. If you sing, dance, write, paint, and want to do something, you should look up Stride Fest and offer a proposal. The deadline is January 15th. I'm a fan. I'm not on the decision-making committee, but I think it's really worth looking up Stride Fest. It's also on my Facebook page, and I'll put it in the chat, and finding that link. And if you want to do a workshop or you want to do a reading, just make a suggestion and take part. And also, of course, as I mentioned, the workshop that Burnaby Writers Society will be doing in partnership with Stride Fest is on, I believe it's Saturday, March 29th. My calendar slipped off the wall as I was signing in, and I'll double check that it's Saturday, March 29th, from probably from 1:30 to 3:30. And so you can look at the McGill Public Library and they'll advertise that. And of course, Charlotte just mentioned the Federation of British Columbia Writers, which is how Charlotte and I met. I was on the board of directors there for quite a long time, and what a great way to meet people. So if you don't know about the Federation of BC Writers, I think it's a wonderful organization to look up. They offer all kinds of activities. A lot of them are free. Some of them are a small price. So I think it's definitely worth taking out a membership, but you can also attend things whether or not you have a membership. So thank you, Charlotte, for reminding me that Burnaby Writers Society is also looking for members. You can attend Burnaby Writers Society Spoken Ink the third Sunday of every month for free on Zoom to hear wonderful, wonderful people. And that's a lot of plugs, but keep your eyes open for Burnaby Writers Society and the Federation of BC Writers for wonderful activities. And then I'm going to read one of my poems. So Charlotte got us into trees, and we're here on Thrive 2025. I'm going to read a poem from my book, Ordinary Light, that's a celebration of trees. And it's called Sky Flowers. Branches mingle into buds, a canopy of butterflies setting sail. The blossoming of talent from a hidden cove of ideas. The work of the trunks to manifest largely the kernel within. To dream in blends and bends of sea green world. The magnificence and relief of standing tall. We are fluorescent fronds of tree fish, swimming through phosphorescent foam to a clear path of what we deserve to be. The mysticism of color, aura of forest made tangible. Like ancient dragonflies, the esoteric heart of the world tasting creation, we embrace permission and freedom to go directly to where we most need and want to be, an island cocoon of love, light, and safety. In the communion of trees, we learn, steadily working day by day, season by season, stretching branches to finally flourish. That self-actualization is for the good of all. Our growth protects others. The evolution of consciousness mirroring meditation. So that's from Ordinary Light, which is in Vancouver Public Libraries.
Ordinary Light?
Yeah, the name of my book is Ordinary Light, and it's an environmental book. It's environmental and nature poetry. It was based on the time when we were covered with smoke, those 11 days when we had the worst air quality on Earth, and all I wanted was a normal blue sky and a normal yellow sun, and I learned to appreciate how sacred those normal, ordinary things are and how much we need to protect them. So, big plug for my book, Ordinary Light, and thank you for listening and letting me let you know about all those workshops in Burnaby.
The fluorescence, the colors. I was imagining the fluorescent fish. Just it was such beautiful imagery with the words.
And the butterflies.
The canopy of butterflies.
Canopy of butterflies.
Right. Beautiful.
I saw that.
Thank you so much. So I get to introduce again Leslie Hebert for another poem or whatever she wants to read.
Okay, so this one is a poem I wrote on vacation a couple of years ago, and it seems to have just the right message for the start of the new year as well. It's called Healing, and also I was sort of drawn to this one after I heard Cynthia's first reading about the beach at Santa Dinista. Yeah, so Healing. On this joyful day of endless blue sky, golden sun and sand, ocean breezes and walks along the tide line, I feel the shape of a poem. Sensing infinite cross currents, I stand in awe at the ocean's edge and wait for the surging power of the next wave. I find infinity in the smile of a child, in the tilt of a bird's wing in the breeze. I sense clarity in the clear blue sky, in the green filtered sunlight shining through the translucent depths of breaking waves after the sand has churned and settled. The sea sparkles, families laugh together, children run in and out of waves like sandpipers. The healing power of the ocean tells me everything's going to be all right.
That is very comforting, reassuring, right? Everything's going to be all right. That's what we all want to hear. Thank you. Thank you, Leslie.
I love that line, I feel the shape of a poem, because sometimes you do feel like that. I mean, I could picture what you said because I do. I feel like a poem coming on. But you described it so this could be the counterpoint to a commercial where people talk about, you know, and for this, you need 25 grams of that. And then you just say, I feel the shape, the healing of a poem coming on.
I love, Leslie, how my whole body melted. You know, we talked about sound imagery in poetry. You give us just this body experience, like Charlotte was saying, the shape of it. My whole body just melted in your imagery. I was so blown away by your paradoxes, and just what an incredible healing experience to listen to you read. And thank you for the gift of your words.
Well, thank you, Cynthia and Charlotte, both of you, for the wonderful, encouraging feedback.
A riff.
We're going to head over to Ramona.
So I just thought that I would like to appreciate Charlotte's efforts in always bringing together poets and poetry and drawing us out, especially me, from my fear of writing poetry. And so here, this, I don't know whether I can call it Ode to Charlotte, but it's very short, and I just want to say thank you through this poem. So here it goes. In Charlotte's cozy nook, words take flight, a poetry pop-up, vibrant and bright. Share your verses, let your heart sing. On her podcast, let your stories take wing. Join the circle where voices unite in the dance of the written, pure delight. So pen your lines, don't hold them tight. In Charlotte's embrace, share your light. Thank you.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to cry.
Hear, hear.
Oh, thank you.
I think we're all in amazement. Are there any thoughts on how amazing that was? And I love how you captured Charlotte's light and her personality of encouraging everyone and this welcome, incredible community that she creates. But well done, Ramona, and well done,
Thank
Charlotte.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think you speak for us all. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure we all feel like that. That I just felt we have to say it. So, you know, sometimes you wish you had said something. So this year, that's one of my resolutions. I'm going to say whatever I feel as soon as I feel it.
And you really captured the magic of this show. Like, thank you, Charlotte, Sister C. Farrell, for bringing all these poets together and creating this safe space.
I'm speechless. But thank you. You all, you know, as you sign in and say, count me in, I'll be there. My heart was pumping with excitement because you come just beautifully. You come to share. You come with something new. You come just nicely. And thank you for participating. And we'll be doing more as we go through this door of 2025, thriving.
So our next poet we'll hear from is Neil.
I have an unusual poem. In the Chinese tradition, I'm a dragon, and I have no idea where this poem came from, but it's called Dragons Speak. We hear tales of dragons that speak, and long gone dead that don't. Stories of enormous wealth and political power. Tales of paupers and orphans and the invisible majority. All have stories they tell that create the lives that they live. There are tales of dreams fulfilled and nightmares realized. Stories of princes and kings and mages and magic of wizards. Tales of the adventures of soldiers and the folly of fools. There is much to be learned from stories of the earth and of the sea. There is always much to tell. And when the telling is done, we find that all tales were about love that were lost and love that was found. And that the adventure continues so that at the end of our days, we discover we are all magicians inventing the past and a never, never land future. There are tales of eyes that see and eyes that don't, words intending to hurt and compassionate replies intending to heal. We live these lives made manifest from the stories we tell ourselves. And still there is much to learn from the tales of the earth and the sea. So you are a seeker of truth in a world where truth doesn't exist, where nothing is fixed, only rough approximations and shadows. Illusion where there is no fixed reality and only endless possibilities, relying on interpretation, ever lacking the certainty of a guiding pole star. With no solid truth on which to stand, for time never stands still, and these endless waves of time carry us one experience after another, just like one heartbeat after another. Yet there is much to learn from tales told of earth and sea. Still we hear tales of dragons that speak and dead that don't. Tales we repeat and repeat to ensure the creation of the lives that we live. Stories told and retold till our stories are complete. And regardless of the tale that we tell, we are all refugees traveling on a road guaranteed to take us home. Thank you.
Guaranteed.
Wow. That was great, Neil. This whole idea of, you know, we're all magicians. We all write our own story. And, you know, life is story. Whatever we experience, everything is a story. But yes, we do have the power to create our own. I think it's a very empowering poem.
And you have such a great storytelling voice.
And so much of philosophy, right? Neil always, we're seekers after truth and, you know, eyes that see and don't see. We think all of this, but Neil always manages to put it across beautifully. I don't know how you do it. Wonderful. Tales of love. Love lost and love found. Beautiful.
We also get to hear from our host, Charlotte Christa Farrell, for another poem.
Okay, I am Sister C here in the place to be. You have been listening to the Saluau Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, where my guest and I, give you things to think about, talk about, and act upon. We are in 2025 going to be once a month having a poetry pop-up. Poetry pop-up is notification at short notice, relatively an interesting prompt. And people like the four people that have been here today, Dr. Ramona, Leslie Hebert, Cynthia Sharp, and Neil Ryan, they pop up regularly and tell others. So I'm going to share my second poem. And, you know, working with the prompt, it challenges me because, you know, there have been times like some of the others that kind of work well with prompts. I just like to write what comes to mind. But this one, I was endeavoring to follow the prompt. Brick time. Brick one. Brick two. Brick three. Now it is time to see. Brick four. Brick five. Brick six. Now is the time to enjoy being transfixed. What you have seen, what you are seeing, have been thoughts of tomorrow, shaking off all that sorrow. Being carried up and away and out, revived by the scent of rain encircling the flowers, massaging each petal, rustling the leaves, nudging sturdy stems to announce their power. Flowers daring to dance around the oak, nature disregarding any notion of being choked, sensing that as their roots entwine, their mist of scents and sense will nature and nurture humankind. Humankind will reverberate with newfound peace of mind.
What a perfect poem to finish Thrive with. Thank you, Charlotte, for your rhythms again and your compassion and the way you energize us. It was just such a gift of a poem.
Well, Charlotte is always very uplifting and very unforgettable in the way you write and deliver your poem. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, so you're energizing us for the new year. It's just, as Cynthia said, it was the perfect ending. Thank you so much.
Well, I think it has been perfect the way each of you have contributed. You have given words that help us to thrive. We had a lot of mean speech and competitive speech, but we're leaving those things behind. And as people listen to this show, we record on Wednesday and it's aired live at 10 a.m. on Friday mornings at cjsf.ca or CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby. And say to the audience, keep listening, because with this group, there are some activities that we will be doing. I'll be drawing on each of you who are such brilliant runners with information. You just don't just hear things. You run and write a poem. You run and book yourself at the library and invite others. Each of you have a spirit of inviting others, not just being exclusively who you are. Now it's time to say goodbye. Oh, my brother, sometimes I'd say I feel like singing. And bless his soul, Leslie Dwayne Burleson, who's looking at the other dimension, he would say, please don't. But I love the way each of you have shown up and that you've said things, shared things that have inspired each of us, and look forward to working with you with other things and sharing in the many places that you're going around Vancouver and the world. Our hearts go out. We're going to send just images of peace and safety. There are about four people that often come on who live in the Los Angeles area. So we're just sending positive thoughts for you and for the city as it's having this fire emergency today.
Yeah, I just, on my Facebook, I noticed there was a post from a friend in L.A. that's marked themselves safe. So that was a relief.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will, you're welcome to join anytime. We do things sometimes at the first of the month, whatever whose month it is. We're going to be doing special shows for Women's Month, Black History Month, Indigenous Month, a lot of months. So I'm going to turn you over to our brilliant engineer, who will end us out with, again, acknowledging where we broadcast from.
Thanks, Charlotte. Jesse here. I'm on mic for anyone listening, and I'm off screen for anyone participating right now, but I am here in the room. And I just want to acknowledge that today's show was produced on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples, and that we're very grateful to be able to live, work, and play on these lands.
Thank you.
And Charlotte, you always like to let people know that even though the show ends and airs at 10, or airs at 10, it's actually a different time. And what time is it?
It is love time, poem time. Love. See you again next time.
Poem time.
Thank you.
Poem time.
Love time. Poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem.
Yo, this is Black Tai Chi, the mic conductor, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in B Baby BC.
This is Bird Note. A mated pair of sharp-shinned hawks, swift bird-catching predators, perch side by side, slender, dashing, gray and rufous hawks. The male is J-sized, just over 10 inches from the top of his head to the tip of his tail. The female, however, stands a head taller and weighs almost twice as much. This seems odd. In most birds, if the sexes vary at all in size, the male is larger. But with many hawks and falcons, the pattern is reversed. And female birds of prey are most notably bigger than males among hawk species that hunt very agile prey. Why is this so? Perhaps the female sharp-shinned hawk's larger size ensures that she may safely dominate the male through courtship and nesting, with a mate who is, after all, a highly aggressive bird hunter. The smaller male will tend to hunt smaller prey. The female will take somewhat larger prey, so together, they can tap a wider range of resources, including this unfortunate Douglas squirrel. Despite his smaller size, the dapper male is a good provider. Early in nesting, While the female concentrates on incubating the eggs and then brooding the hatchlings, the male does most of the hunting. Sign up for weekly preview emails and subscribe to the podcast, too. It's all on our website, birdnote.org.